Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you a big fan of the Little League World Series? I'm not. I will fully admit it. I love the kids. The kids are cute when they're not cheating, when they're not faking their ages. But it's I don't like the fact that it's on TV. I think it takes an amazing event that should be for the love of the game and makes it so, well, political, but also makes it so that these kids are in the spotlight for more than just the baseball and the sportsmanship and the fun and the love of the game. I think it commercializes it too much, and then you don't get the pure, you don't get the pure event, you don't get the pure spirit and competition. Instead, it's muddied by TV cameras and interviews and posturing, and yeah, it's just, I hate that part, so I don't watch it. I do love Little League, and I do think it's really cool for these young kids, and actually, while it's mostly males, there was a female pitcher that was in Williamsport on Sunday, really cool. I think I'd have to look up the number. There have not been more than 20 girls who have participated in the Little League World Series, and it's really neat for her. I think the attention changes the tone and the spirit of the event. But pretty cool to have the Cubs and the Pirates play a game in Williamsport and interact with the kiddos and give them a thrill. Something new that Major League Baseball has started. And I like it. I like that part of it. You see guys like Anthony Rizzo go out and slide down the hill with the kids and take photos and talk to them and just hang out. And so that part I appreciate. Because it is all about the kids, you know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kind of neat for Joe Maddon too. And he's from a different era, a different generation, where you kind of appreciate the history a little more. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes history is lost on today's athletes. And for them, this is just a trip to the Little League World Series. It's a chance to interact with the kids. But for Joe Maddon, it's a lot more than that. And so I like the fact that you've got multiple generations coming together in this same place, and that he has a definite respect for the history and the tradition of this particular event.
For me, it's kind of cool because it's minor league, and I pretty much am a minor leaguer in and out. So the ballpark, the clubhouse, everything about it was very familiar to me, and I loved it.
Yeah, so there's Little Leaguers smiling away, all wearing their uniforms in the stands, and the Cubs come up with a big victory over the Pirates. And so right now, they are in a tie with St. Louis for the top spot in the NL Central. Kind of. It's a virtual tie. Still much to be decided. But that was a neat change of pace for the Cubs and the Pirates. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. It was the absolute best thing I saw on Sunday. And I hope that you will take the time to watch the video if you haven't seen it already. I did tweet it. In fact, I will ask producer Chris to retweet it right now. The Baltimore Orioles brought in the Baltimore Orioles brought in a young fan of the other team. Okay, so Orioles and Red Sox matching up in a series at Fenway Park. And Henry Frasca is a Red Sox fan. But back when Chris Davis of the Orioles was mired in that hideous slump, remember to start the season? We were cheering for him here on After Hours. It was brutal. 0-66. I don't remember the final number now. I do remember celebrating when he finally got a hit on a Saturday in April and actually had a really big game. Well, come to find out, there was a letter written from this young Red Sox fan, Henry Frasca, to Chris Davis. And not only did it inspire Chris to the point where he now carries the letter around with him, but Henry had the chance to meet Chris and hear what this letter meant to a Major League Baseball player. I don't want to spoil it. I want you to go watch it because Henry tells the story and reads part of the letter. It's just really amazing. It was a piece that was produced by Masson, which is the home of the Orioles on TV. And it includes the first meeting between Chris and this little Red Sox fan who does put on an Orioles hat just for Chris. But it's really cool. So it's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our producer, Chris, just retweeted After Hours CBS. And I actually cried some happy tears over it. And it was a great reminder of what matters most. People are what matter most. We obsess over our baseball and our football and our stats and our fantasy sports. We obsess over who's going to win the World Series and who's going to make the playoffs and who's going to be the Super Bowl champ. And we get so caught up in the wins and the losses and the drama, and the highs and the lows, that we can overlook the fact that these are people. And I know it's been a tough ride for Chris Davis recently in his career. And he says the fans have every right to boo me. But he also has a heart. And little Henry Frasca realized that Chris Davis had a heart and felt bad for him and wanted to reach out to him at 9 years old. So pretty important life lesson if you'll check it out on Twitter. And I'm sure if you look it up on Facebook, the Orioles on Facebook, they'll have the video up there as well. Really heartwarming. And again, it reminded me of what matters most. Too often, we wait until it's too late or we miss an opportunity to let someone know we care or we're supporting them, to encourage them, to lift them up. And here's this 9-year-old who teaches us this great life lesson about how much our support and encouragement can mean to another human being, even though these two have nothing in common. Perfect strangers. And yet Henry decided he was going to write a letter and be kind to Chris Davis. And this big league baseball player now carries that letter around with him. I mean, that's the kind of impact that we can have on other people. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I want to make sure that I mention the passing of Cedric Benson. So for many of you who are Texas football fans, that name is not only familiar, but iconic. He was a star running back for the Longhorns in the early 2000s. So his last season was 2004 when he won the Doak Walker Award as the nation's top running back. He graduated, or he left Texas with 5,540 yards rushing, second only to Ricky Williams in school history and ninth in NCAA history, plus 64 touchdowns. An extremely prolific running back before he went on to the NFL. And there aren't a lot of details about his death, only that it was a motorcycle accident. I looked for other details. His agent said he didn't even know exactly how it happened. So I assume that we'll get some more information as the authorities do an investigation and release some of that information. But aside from that, knowing the details doesn't bring him back. And at 36 years old, this former player of Mac Brown's is gone far too soon.
Cedric was one of our favorites, mine and Sally's. He was a true spirit, one of the toughest players we've ever coached, if not the toughest. We're playing Michigan, his last game in the Rose Bowl. And Texas had never been to the Rose Bowl. Texas had never played Michigan. So it was really a cool game and a cool moment. And Cedric hurt his knee the first play of the game. So he strained his tendons in his knee. The doctor said, you're a first-round draft choice. Don't play anymore. And he said, tape it up. I'm going to play. He went back in the game. He played the whole game. After the game, I see him sitting over in the corner crying. And I said, is it your knee? And he said, no, coach. This is the last time I'll ever wear a Texas football uniform. So that's the kind of competitor he was. That's the kind of person he was. And Sally and I, along with a lot of Longhorns, are just crushed.
Mac Brown speaking about his former player, Cedric Benson, who died in a vehicle accident over the weekend. He also spent 8 seasons in the NFL, and Cincinnati Bengals fans will remember him well. Started with the Bears, but then was with Cincinnati and had a 1,200-yard rushing season with the Bengals. In fact, had 3 seasons over 1,000 yards. As you know, most running backs have a shorter shelf life. But he had some really productive years and actually played in the NFL twice as long as the average career. And so a lot of tributes pouring in for Cedric Benson and a lot of shock as well. 36 years old. And very often, if it's not an athlete who transcends his sport, whose name is bigger than his sport, so say a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, we could talk, I could give you 100 examples. But those are the athletes that we kind of keep up with. Michael Jordan, we know what he's doing. We know where he's been since he left his craft. Magic Johnson. But for the majority of athletes, they fade into relative anonymity. Of course, they have family and friends, but in terms of the public attention, the public eye, we kind of lose track of them for obvious reasons. The wheel never stops turning. It's a relatively quick portion of their careers for most athletes. It's over in the blink of an eye. And then they have decades to figure out what else they're going to do with their lives. 36 is so young. It may not be young as a running back, but it's so young. And so a lot of people mourning the loss of Cedric Benson, including coaches and players who spent time with him when he was at Texas and then in the NFL. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you need to cry some happy tears or be inspired, definitely check out the video that the Orioles posted of little Henry Frasca and Chris Davis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We actually have a second poll up as our first show of the work week cruises along. We've already asked you, or we already are asking you, about Antonio Brown and whether or not you think all of this drama is for reals or contrived for the purposes of Hard Knocks and better ratings. So you can check that out at After Hours CBS. And while you're there, you can vote for your Man Crush Monday. So we've got a couple of different options in various time zones and regions of the country. So we want you to check that out as well. We've been talking about some of the athletes for whom our beating heart beats faster I don't know. What happens when you have a man crush? I guess that only happens to me. All right, so check it out on our Twitter, and then I've retweeted them as well. We'll put them up on Facebook, too. We got a lot happening on this show. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line. Anybody else surprised at how quickly Josh Gordon got reinstated by the NFL? And I don't mean that as a bad thing or a good thing, just to... As a matter of fact, it felt like a really quick decision by the league. He just applied for reinstatement earlier in August. I hope that we'll hear from him at some point. You remember he was suspended indefinitely last season, and he's had a long string of violations of the league's substance abuse policy. He's had multiple suspensions for which he's had to apply for reinstatement. And the Patriots did everything they could to try to surround him with the support and the protection from himself, protection from his vices. But we know, he knows, they know, but unless a player wants to be healthy, forget player, unless a human being, unless an addict wants to be healthy and wants to stay clean and wants to be sober and wants to stay on a road in which he can be productive, unless he wants to or she wants to, it's not happening. And so the Patriots took a chance with Josh Gordon last year. And I know, big picture, they won the Super Bowl, so how much did it really matter? But it did throw their receiving core into a lurch, and they essentially have had a revolving door at that position for almost a year now. Now, he ended up with 3 touchdowns in 11 games for the Pats, caught 40 passes. They could certainly use him, no doubt about it. Receiving core is the biggest question for them yet again. But he's been placed on the non-football injury list. I do believe that his reinstatement is conditional. And so he's going to have to meet various stipulations with the league. But the NFL's reinstated him and has given him yet another chance, which is a surprise to me. I don't like to deal too much in what we deserve or don't deserve. And this is up to the NFL to decide whether or not to allow Josh Gordon to be gainfully employed again. It's up to the Patriots to decide whether or not they think they can rely on him. Right now, he's on the non-football injury list. And so his return is uncertain. He's not cleared until the 3rd preseason game anyway, but he can't practice or play in games while he's on this NFI. And so I don't know what the Patriots' plan is with him. And in case you're wondering, you're not going to get any information out of Bill Belichick, who was even more cryptic than usual when he was interviewed at halftime of the Patriots' 2nd preseason game.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even want to talk about the first half, I do want to bring up Josh Gordon, because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right. Good luck in the second half.
So the reporter, and we're going to try to figure out who that was, and I'll give you the credit for it in a second. The reporter says to him, before we talk about the first half, anything you want to say about Josh Gordon? Belichick says no, shuts him down, and then the reporter forgets to ask about the first half. That was the end of the interview. Okay, good luck in the second half. The reporter is slightly intimidated there by Bill Belichick. So we're not going to get any information out of coach. And until Gordon is off the NFI, that's such a weird acronym. Until he's cleared and off this non-injury list, he can't participate with the team anyway. And I don't know if it's because the NFL feels that he has a better chance to stay clean and to succeed if he's in a controlled environment with plenty of support around him, I do believe he's gotten more chances than most athletes, most NFL players. So I think that the league is rooting for him. I think they want him to succeed, and not just because he's talented. And last year, it was about his mental health as well. He took some time away from the Browns before he got traded away to the Pats, and then he left the Pats for a short while as well. And so I do hope that he succeeds. I want him to. It just makes me wonder, how many chances does he get? The man's not out committing serious crimes. And everyone who works with him speaks highly of him. Tom Brady and Josh Gordon have stayed in touch. They've worked out together. And I'd love to see him on the football field, but more than anything, I want him to be healthy. And so far in this atmosphere, Patriots or Browns, it's not been the right formula. So we'll see whether this time it works. But remember, he managed to ditch the security detail that the Patriots had hired to have with him 24 hours a day. He still managed to get rid of them. And so I think there's a little bit surprised, too, that the Patriots are willing to give it another shot after they got burned. Again, they did win the Super Bowl, so, you know, getting burned is relative when you're the Patriots. But Belichick is not usually a guy that allows you to burn him twice. And while he's giving us zero information, as you heard in that conversation with Steve Burton, I'm using the word conversation loosely, in that back and forth on WBZ in Boston with Steve Burton, we'll probably get more as the Patriots figure out what to do, as they understand the conditions and the terms of the NFL and its reinstatement. But, I mean, good for Josh Gordon. He convinced the league somehow. Will this be the opportunity that sticks? Will this be the last one he needs? That's always going to be the question. How reliable? How much can you count on him? All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Got two polls up now, our A-B poll and our MCM poll. I feel like such a millennial. And then also on our Facebook page. We'll get to your call straight ahead, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Second and 10, toss to the left side. That one caught. Breaking free is Gordon at the 30. Down the sideline to the 20. At the 10, to the 5, and in for the touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There were three touchdowns with the New England Patriots. Josh Gordon there for 11 games last season after they traded for him with Cleveland. But then he was suspended indefinitely by the NFL. Now he has been reinstated, though it is conditional, and we're not sure when we will see him. Kevin Kugler with the call on the Westwood One Radio Network. How you feeling about it, Patriots fans? I know some of you had written to me on social media to say you were hoping that Josh Gordon would be reinstated. And as much as I hope this is the time that sticks, there's still a risk there. It's a different risk than trading for Antonio Brown. It's a different risk than trading for Odell Beckham Jr. It's a different level of risk. But there's a risk. His track record is littered with opportunities that have been cast by the wayside. Though I appreciate that the NFL continues to give him chances, it's almost as though Roger Goodell is rooting for him and really wants him to take advantage of this fifth chance, sixth chance, seventh chance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. How many fantasy football leagues are you participating in? And who are you targeting with your top picks? Now, drafts are taking place this week, next week. I actually haven't figured out yet what position I'm drafting, but I always line players up in the queue. And I feel like it's wide open. We had DraftKings analyst Greg Ehrenberg in studio with us during the first hour. That was fun. And he says Christian McCaffrey as a running back, DeAndre Hopkins as a wide receiver. Those are his top two position players. And he said, wait until the eighth or ninth round to draft a quarterback, which I never do it. I cave every time. In fact, I'm pretty sure I draft a kicker before we get to the eighth or the ninth round. Probably a defense too. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, A Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Red is listening in Georgia. Red, welcome to After Hours.
How's it going, Amy? Thanks for taking my call. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Amy, I'm thinking about this Josh Gordon thing, and I think as the league, I think they're dropping the ball on this because I don't think they want the younger players to have the image of you keep messing up, we're going to keep giving it a try. Don't get me wrong. Everybody deserves a second chance, but that don't mean you deserve a second and third, fourth, fifth chance at playing football. Maybe he needs to get his life together. I think that's the most important thing for a player like Josh Gordon, getting his life together. I don't think football should be on the plate right now. You know what I mean? I remember back in the day when Merkin Morris got banned from the NFL for his usage of drugs. And I think that was the best thing that happened to Mercury Morris to get banned, for him to get his life together. I just hate the image that it sends with a player like Josh Gordon all these times, that he's the only player I've seen get this many go at it, man. This is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it crazy, but I would agree with you. It seems like he's getting more opportunities than most. I don't know if it's because his primary issue is pot, is marijuana. I'm not sure about that. He certainly has had issues with alcohol as well in the past. And really, it's more about violating the league's rules for him once he's in the program. Forget which substance it is. He just hasn't been able to stick to the stipulations and the conditions that the NFL has issued for him. So this is interesting because it's not even as long a suspension as the last one that he served. And he got reinstated really quickly. And I don't know if it's because Roger Goodell thinks in the Patriots system he might have a better opportunity. I'm not really sure. Or if this is even the last one. Just it happened pretty quickly, and it kind of caught me by surprise, but I hope he makes the most of it.
But, Amy, don't you think we should be concerned about the young man's life?
Well, yes, we should, but I don't know that you can just generally say that he's better off without football than he is with football. I don't think that you can make that blanket statement. Now, we only have the sample size, which is his football career, and he has squandered many opportunities with both the Browns and then with the Patriots last year. So I know what you're saying, like that you can look at the track record and say, you know, football's not the right place for him. But it may be a better place for him than not having that structure and that support around him.
I tell you what, Amy, your insight is always on top A1. So, man, thanks for taking my call again. You have a great morning.
Thank you, Red. I appreciate your phone call in Georgia. I don't know that it's insight any more than it's just trying to look at the situation from all angles. And, yes, it's easier to say – hey, look, he failed with the Browns and the support they had around him. He messed up with the Patriots. He managed to ditch the security detail of the Patriots had for him and still wriggled free so that he could chase his demons, so that he could go back to what was comfortable for him. And I don't know whether or not football is the right place for him. But I do know that in his conversations with Roger Goodell, with the Patriots, that they're convinced, at least right now, that to have him reinstated and to have him on the 90-man roster. So for now, he's not part of the active roster, obviously. And they haven't made cuts yet anyway. But it seems as though the Patriots are willing to see how this goes, at least to ride it out for a little bit. And so maybe this is the chance. But I don't know how many more chances he would get if this one doesn't work. I can't imagine with the Patriots they'd give him a third one. However, sports continue to surprise me. I just want Josh Gordon to be able to play football and only worry about football. I know it's not that simple when you're an addict and when you have these demons, but I want him to be able to use the structure and the support system around him. That's what I wish for him. But if he can't stay healthy doing that, well, then I can't imagine the Patriots are going to give him more than just this second chance. We'll call it a second chance. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. This was the statement in its entirety from Bill Belichick. For the past 8 months, Josh's situation has been entirely a league matter. When Josh returns to our program, we will evaluate the entire situation and do what we feel is best for Josh and the team. So, I guess there is a chance the Patriots could decide it's not a good fit. Certainly, they could use him as a football player. But he's already been suspended 5 times in his NFL career. So, how much can you really rely on him? He is still under contract with the Patriots. And so he would be their top receiver because they've got a bunch of injury issues plus dealing with the retirement of Gronk. We think the retirement of Gronk. And it was a prolific connection for the short time that we saw Tom Brady to Josh Gordon. But that's the question. What is best for Josh? What is best for the Patriots? For now, he's not active. He's not practicing. And he's definitely not playing in the Patriots' third preseason game. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Interesting to think about. I'm going to pivot here. Interesting to think about what might be happening with the New Orleans Saints and their QB depth chart. You remember last year, Taysom Hill was one of those guys who would get you 3 or 4 yards if you absolutely needed them, whether it be a fourth and short. You needed a big body who could just barrel his way through the line, protect the football, make sure that he moved the chains rather than putting Drew Brees in that situation. Obviously, a guy who's much slighter, leaner, not going to barrel his way through many lines. But is Taysom Hill blossoming into more than just a running bulldozer QB?
3 receivers to the far side for Taysom Hill. He drops back, has a good pocket down the sideline, wide open. Austin Carr in for the touchdown, and New Orleans with their first of the day, 27 yards.
So that's the call with Zach Strief on the Saints radio network. It was Teddy Bridgewater, it was Taysom Hill. There was no Drew Brees, which you can understand. And there's some speculation now that with the way Hill is playing, that it could end up being Hill who's number 2 on the Saints quarterback depth chart. instead of Teddy Bridgewater. Sean Payton still has to make that determination.
He and Teddy both, I feel like, have progressed. And I've seen it day in and day out at practice. Teddy was sick, and I probably should have gotten him out of the game earlier, but we weren't going to play Drew, and then Taysom came in and did a really good job.
I have to do a better job, like I said, when I'm dealing with things. I've just still been able to provide energy, and you know, those guys feed off my energy. When I walk into that huddle, those guys like to see confidence, a guy who you know they believe in. And today I just didn't give those guys the energy that you know we deserve.
So this is the Saints quarterback conundrum behind Drew Brees, but Taysom Hill looked really good in the pocket as well as the couple of times that he had the chance to run the ball. 11 of 15, 136 yards, 2 touchdown passes, a near-perfect QB rating. I know it's preseason. You don't have to tell me. That's my line. Yes, it's preseason. And if Sean Payton is telling the truth and Bridgewater was sick, then maybe that affected him as well. But he didn't look nearly as crisp. Threw an interception, struggled. Also had a lost fumble. So we'll see. We'll see how we proceed forward. The good thing about that is as long as Drew Brees stays healthy, well, you don't need to worry about who number two is on the depth chart. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. No football players in our Man Crush Monday poll yet. It's too early for that. We can't do it. So instead, you've got a trio of baseball players, two who hit massive home runs on Sunday, actually from the same division, but different regions of the country, which is good. And then a pitcher picking up his 200th career win. Plus Justin Thomas. We'll have to talk about him a little bit next hour, but winning on the PGA Tour and admitting to a bunch of jitters on Sunday morning. This is big. This is the FedEx playoffs. And so you can take that poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS, and then also take our Antonio Brown drama poll. Says it all. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.